morning, everyone. As you know, we're going to be talking about Advent, the first week of Advent today, so we just have a little reading to share with everyone. I keep expecting loud and impressive events to convince me and others of God's saving power. Our temptation is to be distracted by them. When I have no eyes for the small signs of God's presence, the smile of a baby, the carefree play of children, the words of encouragement and gestures of love offered by friends, I will always remain tempted to despair. The small child of Bethlehem, the unknown man of Nazareth, the rejected preacher, the naked man of the cross, he asked for my full attention. The work of our salvation takes place in the midst of a world that continues to shout, scream, and overwhelm us with its claims and promises.
I'm going to read Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not be judged by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear.
All right, I'm going to pray for us. We welcome you, small child of Bethlehem, whose coming we await with quiet attention. Shield us from the shouts, the screams, the empty promises of the season, and encourage us to turn our hopes to your coming. We know that the promise is hidden in the stable in Bethlehem and rooted in the offspring of Jesse. Let us look there for our salvation. Amen.
Thank you, Dankos. Good job. Before we get started with my part, I just want to prepare us. Because I think a lot of times during the season, if you're anything like me, we can get so distracted by everything else. We can get so distracted by what gifts that we haven't gotten, what our Christmas tree that we need to put up or have already put up. The decorations, the family travels to grandma's house and all these other things. And we'll get to the end of this season and it will be filled with things that will never satisfy us. It'll be filled with things that will only be memories instead of preparing us. And so as I was sitting there during worship today, I just got this picture. And there's a scripture that says, he that sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy to be my disciple. And let me just prepare Advent. Advent is a preparation for the return of the King. It is a preparation for the longing of the Messiah. And let me prepare you, because this is what our next 4 weeks are about. Our next 4 weeks are not about us looking back. Our next 4 weeks are about us looking forward. Because right now, as you sit there in your seat, I'm sure there are things behind you that want to distract you. Sin that you may have participated in yesterday or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Something that you feel like God's called you to do that you haven't done. And as long as we look this way, which is just our faults and failures, we don't see the hope that is Jesus. Let us prepare. You know, I don't intend to give you a whole lot of scripture today. I think I have four different verses. One of them you've just heard. And I just want us to prepare. I want us to intentionally set our eyes forward. So whatever you came in here with, the great thing of the cross, and we get to participate with each other today through and with communion, is that it sets our eyes to the things of Him. See, you couldn't fix yourself in the past, and you can't fix yourself in the future, but the hope of the resurrection is what our longing is for. So let me pray. Dear my Father, Lord, we are lost without You. We're left to ourselves, left to our own desires, left to our own good intentions. We always fall so short of what You desire. Instead of us just giving You our attention, Lord, children that have the attention of their parents can easily obey what you say. So, Lord, I pray that this season would not be a season that we think about and we look to the things that have brought us harm or pain or have eroded our faith in you, but we would look to the hope. Lord, we just acknowledge that our flesh has weakened our ability to follow you, but Lord, you've done everything necessary for us. So, Lord, I pray that any sadness that came into this room, Lord, any regret, any shame, any burden would be released as we longingly look towards the hope that is you, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read this again because the first week of Advent is typically hope or waiting or longing. And next week we're going to do peace. In the week after that we're going to do joy. And then the final week we're going to do love. And so all of these are to prepare us. And let me just, in case I forget this at the end, Jody and I ordered, and I don't want to say that, hey, we've always done Advent correctly. I haven't. I grew up in traditional churches and looked at some of these things negatively. Because to me, I never saw the meaning in them. So I don't want you to see this symbol of something that maybe you've seen over and over again, and it's become so common that you don't think about why we're doing it. And so I want us just to prepare. And so one thing Jody and I did, there is a book actually starts, we'll start reading tomorrow with our family. We encourage you. There are simple things. You don't have to create the wheel. You don't have to, plan a family devotion every day until the day of Christmas. You can actually go on YouVersion. YouVersion is an app. If you type in Bible on your iPhone app store, your Android app store, the number one is going to, it's just going to say Bible, but it's YouVersion is the company that makes it. It's put out by lifechurch.tv. And there are reading plans on there specifically for Advent, specifically for Advent with children. And so you don't have to create the wheel. You can follow it, and every day it'll be on the day. Have a little bit of reading of Scripture pointing you towards. And we encourage you not just to allow us for four times leading up to Christmas, but you, over the next 25 days, prepare yourself and prepare your family and see. See, I'm not trying to rob you of tradition. I'm not trying to rob you. Like, this is not the message that's like, don't go buy presents. Get rid of your Christmas tree. This is the season. Let's be intentional. Because all of those things are good in themselves. All the family tradition. But when they're combined with what the real intention of the season is, it will amplify your experience at the end. And so let me read this, talking about the longing out of Isaiah again. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. See, for hundreds of years, the people of God prepared and hoped and longed for the day that Jesus, the Messiah, would show up. And see, during the season, we get to celebrate two things because Jesus has already shown up and we are preparing for his return. But before we get into that, I just want to, and this may be hard, maybe not. I want you to think like a kid for just a minute. Remember being a kid on Christmas morning. Remember the excitement as a parent now, you think that excitement is a little bit annoying. And 4 a.m. just is not an acceptable time to wake up. But it is that excitement, that anticipation for something, the hope and excitement of Christmas, the longing to open presents, the waking up early as is allowed. Some people determine what that time is. I mean, I've heard people as early as 2 o'clock in the morning. Gosh, the moment you finally have everything unboxed. Remember the best Christmas. Like with that one thing that you had finally are going to have. I mean, if everybody has seen the Christmas story and, you'll shoot your eye out with a BB gun. But that longing for that one gift and it's finally unwrapped. And the first time that you get to play with your new toys. See, the thing with all of those is, where is all that stuff at now? Where are the things that brought you so much joy in the moment? I mean, that experience. I mean, it's electrifying to watch kids, especially little kids, and they unwrap. I love the kids that like the box better than the toy. I love that. I think, why did we buy them a toy? I love that age. It's like, just let me, if we get in shipments from Amazon, my 5-year-old still is like, that's my box. If she can fit in it, it becomes the car, it becomes the adventure. But where is that stuff now? Where is the stuff that you diligent, loving, adoring parents and grandparents have already started to collect, maybe have already wrapped, maybe is already under the tree? Where is that going to be 10 years from now or 20 years from now? Now, if you're like my mom and you hold on to things, when your kids are in their 30s, you'll wrap that stuff up again and give it to them on Christmas. Every time my mom moves and finds stuff, she saves it to Christmas. She wraps it up in a box and she gives it to us with a note that says, it's yours. Throw it away or keep it. And today my kids get to play with, and lots of kids in this church have got to play with Ninja Turtles and He-Man that have been vintaged and saved and then re-gifted to an adult child. anyway, Man-at-Arms. Here you go. But those things go away. In that anticipation of seeing the joy of them opening the gift goes away. But what if this season we could prepare ourselves to open something, prepare ourselves to receive something that doesn't get old, that doesn't wear out, that doesn't go out of style, that never changes, always brings us peace, always brings us joy, and always gives us purpose outside of ourselves. See, Romans 15, Paul actually quotes the verse that we read out of Isaiah 11. And he says, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come. And this root of Jesse, by the way, is referring to Jesus. Even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. See, as we set our eyes towards Jesus, it takes our attention off what we are not. It allows us to be in a position to be exactly where God wants us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 18, or 16 through 18, it says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And this is Paul, light and momentary. He is you want to read through, he has a list of things that he has experienced for the cause of Christ. And those are light and momentary for the glory that is beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. See, the things that are seen are all the gifts that we're going to open. They're temporal. They will one day fill landfills all over our great nation. But if we'll set our eyes to the things that are eternal, those don't disappoint. We had the pleasure yesterday, and it was a pleasure, and this sounds really weird for what I'm getting ready to say. Yesterday, Jody and I and Allie went to Mrs. Robbins, Rita Robbins' funeral. Mr. Robbins is the head custodian here at the school and has been for 18 years, and his wife lost a two-year battle with cancer last Sunday. And I have never experienced a funeral like that ever in my life. It was one of the most joy-filled times. It was a two-hour funeral. Not been to many two-hour funerals, but it was a two-hour funeral, and the joy that came out of her life. I got the pleasure of seeing her several times, almost all of those visiting her in the hospital when she was going through treatment or when her body was shutting down, and praying over her, and the peace and joy that that woman, Miss Rita, had is beyond comparison. See, she sat, and to hear stories of her life and the people speak about her, her consistency of her faith, hearing one of her coworkers as, you know, she would open the Word every day before work, and they would pray over the people that they were going to serve. She was a CNA, worked with people in her same condition for years and loved on. See, that opens our eyes to what can be. See, this is light and momentary. See, when we get ourselves focused on what isn't right and what we don't have, we set our eyes to things that aren't God. And it robs us from the joy that He is now giving. Right now, in this room, He is offering for us an experience that would change our whole concept of Christmas. He wants to rock our world this year to prepare us. Because, believe it or not, this season is one of the best opportunities for you to talk to people about Jesus. Because regardless of how much information they have, they're aware what this season is, and it gives you an opportunity to explain what it is. It gives you an opportunity to express the hope that is inside of you towards someone else. And if we align ourselves over the next 4 weeks, that we give ourselves an opportunity to have that ready to share with someone the hope. Titus 3 verses 4 through 7, it says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness." Amen. See, that is the great and glorious thing about Jesus. He did what we couldn't. He gives us what we could never get on our own. And it has nothing to do with what we've done. It has nothing to do with our mind and our attention want to draw us to, but everything to do with Him. "But according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." See, the great thing about going to a funeral that you know or have had experience with someone of faith is that you can believe what her experience is now. See, there's no one in this room, there's no one in this town, there's no one in this county that can be excluded from that same very experience. And that is the hope that is Jesus. That's why we, this season, are preparing ourselves. Because we need to be reminded why in just a few minutes we as a church family are going to receive communion together is because we need to be reminded. You need to be reminded. I, every day, need to be reminded that Jesus has done what is necessary for me to experience life and life to the full and have peace that passes all understanding. It is there. That is our hope. So where is your hope? Where are you putting your hope this season? Where is your attention being focused on? And all we're asking is for the next 25 days, it's just to be intentional, to set your attention, to set your eyes, to set your life for the hope that is to come. I want to explain a little bit about communion here at Reach, just in case you're here for the first time or you've not been here when we've done communion. First off, who is available to take communion? I think that's, if you're new in a church, you know, there are rules and, you know, things that you need to know. Here's what you need to know about communion at Reach. If you've said yes to Jesus, communion is available to you. You could be here for the first time. You don't have to be a member to participate in our communion because He did it for us. So if you've said yes to Jesus, in just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. And what that means here at this church is there'll be a song that's going to play at the end. And when you feel that you're ready to take communion, you alone or you with your family can walk back to this table that's in the back corner. And we take communion by intinction, which just basically is that you pick up the piece of bread and you dip it in the juice. And then you can, together as a family, take communion, or you can take communion by yourself. And it's just a reflective pause of going, God has done what we couldn't. And let me just read out of 1 Corinthians. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." This is our intention of setting our mind, because we're reminded of what He's done for us. We're reminded that He is not now in the grave, that He has rose from the dead and He is returning. That is our hope. See, there's a lot of people in this room that come from different families, come from many different backgrounds, and the great thing about communion is it very simply makes us family. We may not be family by blood. We may not be family even by the area that we grew up in, but we become family when we put the blood that connects us together. And so what I would like to do, I'd like to invite our worship team to come back up. And thanks again, by the way, for Crosswinds loaning us two of their very own to help us with our worship this morning. And so we're going to go back into worship, but look, Advent can be just something that you've experienced before. Communion can be just a routine. See, we can walk through the motions of anything, or we can experience a living God that gives us hope today. And so here's the great thing. If you don't know Jesus and you're in this room, it's simple. You cannot make yourself good enough for God. But He has. And He knew that from the beginning, so much so that He sent His Son 2,000 years ago to live the perfect life that you could not, to die the death, to win you connection to the Father. So do you have to clean yourself up? Do you have to get perfect before Jesus will receive you? No. Look at His encounters with the lost. He didn't do anything prior other than say, your sins are forgiven. And so this morning, if that's you, the simplest thing that you can do is just go, God, I have not and cannot make myself good enough for You. But You have, and receive me. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this morning. I thank You that, Lord, You know that we're prone to wander. You know that we're prone to get distracted by things. And You set things for us to remind us of Your goodness, of Your glory, of Your gift of the Holy Spirit that You give us, Your children. And Lord, I pray that You would take our next 4 weeks and that You wouldn't just let us go into autopilot, go into just a routine or a ritual, but Lord, that You would just engage us. Lord, I just pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would just inspire us as we leave this room today to not let another season go by and allow it to just be Christmas. Just be a holiday, but that You would allow us over the next 25 days to set our minds, to set our attention, and to set our eyes on You, who is our hope, Lord, who is interceding for us, who is calling us into Your kingdom, who is expanding Your kingdom, who is healing, who is redeeming, who is restoring. And Lord, as we reflect, as we prepare ourselves for communion this morning, I pray that this wouldn't just be a sacrament. It wouldn't just be a thing that we do, that we've done growing up in the church, but Lord, that this would be our moment with You. Lord, that we would realize that it's not just bread, but Lord, that Your body had been broken for us. And Lord, that this isn't just juice, but this is Your blood that was shed for us. This is the blood of the new covenant. And Lord, I pray that You would fill us with hope, that You would fill us with longing. And Lord, that You would just pour out Your Holy Spirit in us and through us this season. So Lord, thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love and Your pursuit of us. Lord, we're grateful that Your mercies are new every morning. And we just give You this time. We give You these next few minutes, this next portion of our service to just to be grateful for Your gift to us. And we pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.